I hope I'm not presuming on your kindness to expect you to take a few more minutes on the weekend to listen to this voice and be stuck with this face. But what better way to spend time than in God's Word and growing in wisdom? We've been looking, beloved, at Ephesians 5:16, four questions about redeeming the time, being a better purchaser, buyer, trader of our time, that we might be less foolish and not waste our lives, our brief, short lives the Lord has given us. Remember that, even a very secular movie, but it captured my young imagination and me and my friends in high school, that Latin phrase, carpe diem, seize the day, boys. Your life is fleeting and fading fast. How will you spend it? Will you make your life count? Will we make our lockdown count for the Lord? Will we look back in coming years and say, that lockdown was hard, that there was things we wouldn't want to do over again, but here's how the Lord helped us to use it wisely, to steward it carefully. First, we looked at what does it mean to redeem the time. Second, why should we redeem the time? Because the days are evil, here in verse 16. Now, in closing, two brief questions that follow. Number three, what does it look like? Some illustrations I hope will help you. And then finally, how do we apply it? How about Paul and Silas? There, in, as we saw recently in Acts 16 and Philippians 1, languishing in a Roman prison. I mean, time to kill, right? Wrong. They're spending it for Christ, singing hymns of praise, evangelizing the jailer. John Wesley, that great evangelist, we're told, divided his entire day into five-minute portions. At the end of every 5 minutes, asked whether he had used those minutes wisely and redeemed the time. Maybe that's a bit overboard, but read biographies about Wesley and look at all he accomplished for Christ. During the 16th century Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther had a great co-worker named Melanchthon. Melanchthon would keep a record of every wasted moment and take his list to God at the end of each day for confession, repentance, and renewal before the Lord. No wonder God used him in such great ways. Have you noticed one of the most glaring evidences of a more pagan, less Christianized, more paganized culture where the gospel has not yet penetrated as it ought to, is how they use their time? When you go to public hospitals and open places and people are waiting for hours in massive queues and long lines, how are they spending the time? Is anyone reading, talking, evangelizing, or are they just sitting there with hollow eyes, wasting the hours away? One of my favorite scenes in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings is when Frodo says to Gandalf, "I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened." To which wise old Gandalf replies, "So do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." Tolkien's great story also depicts vividly how we are to redeem the time amidst very evil days and colossal conflict and unseen hostility in the heavenly places, as Scripture so plainly teaches. What it means to redeem the time, why we redeem it, what it looks like, some illustrations, and now, fourth and finally, how to redeem the time. Let me offer some further applications. Sometimes we hear people talk about vegging, even Christians talk about, just killing time. Yeah, I'm proud of the fact that I did nothing today, or I just binge-watched or whatever. Should that ever be on the lips of a Christian? Last time I checked, a vegetative state was a severe medical condition, not something desirable. Yes, the Bible in Ecclesiastes commands us to enjoy. There's a time to relax. There's a time to rest, but that's not wasted time. That's still stewarding the time wisely, according to Scripture. We never relish the thought of total inactivity and uselessness. No, Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Look around, just imagine, think right now at the viewers of this little video. Maybe with you and your families, maybe there's 300 people. Each of you has, if you get a good 8 hours of sleep even, if you need that much. 16 waking hours per day. That's 4,800 hours per day represented in the little viewing audience of this devotional. That's almost 34,000 hours per week represented in those who are viewing, in our Antioch family and some friends. 34,000 hours per week, either that we'll waste for Satan and the world and self, or that we'll redeem and buy back and purchase for the Lord and for eternal value. An old writer, Octavius Winslow, said this: we may rob God by a misuse of time. Time is a solemn and a priceless gift and involves a responsibility and an account of a most tremendous character. What sin, what madness then, to abuse a privilege so solemn, to misuse a blessing so precious. Oh, you killers of time, how will the ghost of your murdered hours haunt and upbraid you through the interminable centuries of eternity? Oh, what would you not then give for 1 hour of that precious period of your existence, which now you waste and fritter and destroy in vain, useless and sinful trifles and shadows? Remember, you rob God when your time is not consecrated to his glory. End quote. The illustration has been given of a fast horse running past you. That's what opportunity and time are like. This horse pauses for a moment, though, for you to mount on it. If you hesitate, soon you hear the clatter of his hoofs down the corridor of time. The opportunity lost. Those moments gone forever. Beloved, redeeming the time starts with redeeming the mind, recapturing our attention span, regaining the art of fierce concentration. Oh, I pray that I would keep growing in this area. I have far to go. Taking our thoughts captive, as Scripture says, so that we're not prisoners of all the endless distractions around us. Countless hours wasted on website rabbit trails and unnecessary social media and emails and video games. What a royal waste of time, in my opinion. Useless YouTube videos, constant distractions, especially during work hours that ought to be spent for the Lord and for your company or those who are paying you. It's not just wasting time, it's stealing it. No, Paul says here in Ephesians 5, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, redeeming, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Beloved, when's the last time you heard a Christian, a fellow believer, confess to you the sin of idleness? You read the Puritans, you read the saints of old and our forefathers in the faith. They would openly confess if they spent moments or hours of idleness and ask the Lord's forgiveness and ask accountability and help from brothers and sisters in Christ, because they knew idleness was the mother of so many other sins, right? Go and read Jonathan Edwards at age 20 and 21, his famous 70 resolutions, where our resolution conference came from. One of them, he says, resolved never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Google, go look up a famous sermon by Jonathan Edwards called The Preciousness of Time. I made a few notes here. He talks about viewing time from every possible angle so that we would treasure it and value it and prize it and redeem it and purchase it more wisely, more faithfully, steward it. He says, view time in light of the wasted past. I think of my 15 years of life before the Lord saved me as a teenager. Some 100,000 waking hours of my childhood and early teenage years wasted on self and the world and sin. I look back at now 30 plus years as a Christian, still far too many wasted hours on fear or worry or self-focus or being less productive than I could be, where I could have worked harder, could have worked smarter, could have been more focused and more disciplined for my Lord and for my flock and for the kingdom and for our seminary and for my family, and all in light of eternity. View time in light of the past Another angle, Edward says, how about viewing time in light of what's left of my brief earthly life? Here I am, 46, probably more than half my life gone. How many years do I even have left? How will I spend them? And then Edward says, view time like a man on his deathbed. If I knew these were my final hours before I breathed my last, how would I spend them? Or he says, view time in light of eternity, looking back from a billion plus a trillion years from now in eternal heaven and in light of those who will be in everlasting hell. What matters now, this day in light of that day? Remember your creator, young people. When you are young, Ecclesiastes 12 tells us, before the evil days, the difficult times come. I love the way J.C. Ryle puts it. How dare you burn the candle of your life for self and sin, and then in the end, you blow the smoke of a wasted life in the face of God. May the Lord help us. Father, teach us what it is to redeem the time, knowing the days are evil, to seize the day, to number our days as Moses prayed, that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. Only one life soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Teach us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.